Command Point now has merch. Link in the description. Warzone Studio was kind enough to send out a couple of their battle mitts for us to review, and I have to say, you guys, I absolutely love them. The mats we received have the kill team layout on them, making it quicker and easier to place objectives and terrain pieces to create a good play experience. The mousepad material the mats are made from is an upgrade from the foldable cardstock boards that you are used to seeing come in kill team boxes. Warzone Studio are even helping support the channel by giving us a kickback for each order placed using the link in the description below. So make sure to check them out, and thank you to Warzone Studio for sponsoring this video. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Command Point Podcast. My name's Ryan, and today I'm here with Shane.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah.
It's been a long couple of weeks,
I feel. Has it been? Has it been like 1 or 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
Okay, so I mean like bi-weekly.
Yeah, bi-weekly.
Officially bi-weekly. That's pretty professional.
Not bad.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah. Can I just say we have snow down in the ground, coming down from the sky.
Yeah,
in Rochester,
that is one way to say it's snowing.
It is not great.
Yeah, it was
my drive to the studio is, you know, honestly the roads aren't too bad. It's the people driving the cars on the road that are bad. It's like worms driving cars. It's like just petrified.
They just don't have arms and they're just
yeah. It's really not a good time. But, you know, Kill Team World Championships just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you were there.
I was there. I played, mm-hmm. as we talked about last time. And didn't quite make it out of groups.
No.
As we had predicted. I came literally, I think, about as close as you can get without making it out of groups, though.
Yeah. So, like, you were, like, on the cusp, I think.
Yeah, that's one way to say it.
Yeah.
I was one victory point out.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we will get into all that in a second here. But first, I do need to go ahead and thank Millennium Games for allowing us to use this studio space to record this episode of the Command Point Podcast. Millennium Games, it's the largest board and card game shop in the country. But they also sell, obviously, miniature games, you know, Kill Team, 40K, Star Wars Legion, all that other stuff. And we're going to be having a bunch of, I guess, like miniatures gaming events going to be happening in like January, February, March, basically after the holidays. Usually we have like monthly 40K RTTs. Going to have some Age of Sigmar. And of course, we're going to have some Kill Team going on.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. Once more like details get narrowed down and stuff, we'll be sure to share all that information with you guys. Yeah. And then hopefully you'll be able to come in and visit.
It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good time.
Not right now when it's snowing is.
Don't drink. I mean, give it like 2 more weeks of snow and people will be fine.
Yeah.
But it's just that first day of snow.
Oh, God, I forgot how to drive.
Yeah. It's like the world is falling apart. You know, everything's bad.
Yeah.
But no. I did go to Atlanta and I got to, you know, send the legionaries out on their final...
On their final Black Crusade.
Yeah, their final Black Crusade. And it was a good time. Honestly, it was crazy just seeing all the international players and the, you know, the flags and the jerseys. And it was a cool thing also is that at the overall for the entire World Championships, the United States won.
Oh, hell yeah. USA.
Spain won for Kill Team. But the United States, I believe, was third place. So, pretty cool. I could not really contribute much to that, seeing as I did not make it out of group stage.
True, yeah.
But I finished with a record of 5 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie. Only one of those losses was in group stage, which actually... made me the only player across all the groups to not lose two games and still not make it out of groups. But, you know, it's just really fun. I think it's funny the ways I've found to lose in tournaments.
It is,
if nothing else, it's pretty funny. I was much less disappointed this time around because...
Heartbreaking.
First of all, I'm used to it. But second
You're
of all...
You're so jaded.
Yeah, the quality of play at the tournament was crazy. It was just every game was like a final. Like a final game at a tournament.
Yeah.
Like that level. but yeah, no. So for those uninitiated, I did take Legionaries with Khorne and Nurgle, which is a little bit of a departure from my Slaanesh Nurgle thing I've been doing. But this is my last tournament with not just Legionaries, but, and I'll get into this later, probably Elites in general.
Yeah.
I think it's just too...
We definitely have to touch on that later in this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts on that. No, I mean, I think... how do we want to do this? Should I go over the games? Should I...
I mean, like, I guess, like, I want to ask you, like, what was, like, the overall vibe, like, when you got there, even before the game started?
It was good. It was really cool. So, like... Just meeting like all the Spanish players and, you know, meeting all these guys from Europe and like the other content creators from all over the place. The whole thing, the whole experience was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It felt very grand in scale, I guess. Like it definitely felt like a world championships kind of vibe. It seemed like, you know, and it was cool just like hanging out around town. Shout out to... can't remember their names, but on Wednesday night, I went to a bar to grab a drink, and I met two Australian guys that are there for Age of Sigmar, and I got them to subscribe to the podcast. You guys rock, cool guys. I was hanging out with them all weekend.
Most Sigmar players are.
Yeah.
They're like the one community, I think, where it's like every time I look at them, it's like they're always, every single person is just there having a good time, and it does not matter. Like, I've been to a lot of, like, 40K GTs that are run alongside Age of Sigmar, and the Age of Sigmar players are always having the most fun in the room.
Yeah.
And there's always just, like, the despondent, like, one in four, like, 40K players that are just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, why did I come to this?
Yeah. No, it's definitely a thing. But, no, it was cool because they had Underworlds. We were right next to Underworlds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the rest of the room was Sigmar and 40K. The stream setups were pretty crazy. I'm really jealous of the AOS, the French streaming crew that they had. Just like crazy high production value. Just,
yeah.
Like I like at the end of the tournament, the last game that was going on that everybody was still waiting for was the finals of Age of Sigmar. That was the last game in the room on Sunday night. Like the awards were supposed to happen at 8, and it's like 8:30, and these guys are on like round 3 of 5. It was like a 5-hour long game of Age of Sigmar. But like, so I went up and they had it on the TVs kind of like behind the stuff, like these big giant TVs. And like, I'm looking at the stream that they have set up and it's like Sports Center. They have like the,
they have
the players' faces with their countries, like on the left, like professional, like photos.
Yeah.
And then like the scores and everything and like really good, like quality, like footage of the actual table. It was just great. Can only dream of something like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take a look at that.
Yeah, and if you're a Spanish speaker, or if you know, if you don't speak any Spanish, Kill Team was streamed by John Sau from Spain. They streamed through the whole top 8 and stuff, and but it was streamed in Spanish. So if you don't speak Spanish, you might not know what's going on, but you can still probably figure it out. Cool guys,
yeah,
really cool guys.
Mm-hmm. So. I guess what was round one? I guess I mean we already knew which players were in your pod.
Yeah.
So what was your round one?
So my round one opponent was Alejandro from Mexico, who is a commando player. So right out the gates, I get to experience the commando thing.
Great.
We're on open board.
Yeah.
And there was an initial panic when we got there because we were told in advance that it was going to be open board and Into the Dark. At the tournament, but when we're looking at the boards on Wednesday night and Thursday, it's all open. So there's a little bit of concern, like, well, what's going on? We were told this.
Yeah.
And then we found out later that Thursday, game one and two for groups were open. And then on Friday, rounds 3, 4, and 5, those are going to be Into the Dark.
Okay.
So on day one, it was open board. So I open playing against Commandos on loot. So, like, I've been here before. I've done this matchup before. And I will say the boards were very there was actually only two open board layouts that were used. There was a diagonal one, and there was, like, the long deployment. They didn't have, like, the whole hamburger hot dog thing just confuses me. It was the longer deployment zone. We didn't have the shorter, fatter deployment zone.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we had the diagonal. And it was the same layouts. It just used different objective layouts, but only two terrain setups. And I will say they allowed teams to move into the midboard really safely. It was a little bit like Nova in that regard.
Okay.
So, as we'll talk about later, this ended up being really favorable, I would say, to melee hordes, such as Chaos Cults and Gellerpox. But as far as being able to deploy safely and, like, not get alpha'd off the board, that wasn't really happening at World Championships.
Good.
There's no alpha strike.
Good, yeah. Do you think that benefited your team?
No, not really, but I try to threaten the alpha strike, but most of the time I don't actually go for it unless it's like in our game.
Opponent is an absolute dunce. Well, I mean, that deployment was not very good for me with the amount of terrain.
Yeah, I would say that it was available to me.
Yeah.
I usually don't go out of my way to threaten it, but I try to like force my opponent to respect it, because I think that's a lot of like, I've been seeing a lot, like with the high level play at Worlds and stuff, I've been seeing a lot of rhetoric about alpha striking. And I just want to clear this up right now. I've seen a lot of really good players say alpha striking is bad, that it's like a good player will never give you a big blast or something like that, which, you know, to some degree is true. But that doesn't mean that you don't threaten it. Like, the idea being, like,
you got to keep them honest.
If you force them to deploy in a way where they're stopping you from getting an alpha, they're probably deploying in a way that they otherwise don't want to. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to deploy more safe than they want to. So just because you don't expect to get the alpha doesn't mean you shouldn't threaten it. Like, you should always have that in your back pocket. But I see a lot of players saying, like, oh, alpha's bad. Like, good players won't let you alpha anyway. But, like, I think people need to reevaluate how they approach that. Anyway, sorry. So I'm playing Alejandro, commando player. First of all, really cool guy, classy guy. Shout out to him. He was a great opponent. Good player. I was really surprised in deployment because he actually only did one sneaky get. And not only did he do one sneaky get, but he did the knob with dynamite, which is kind of like
That's kind of like the traditional.
Yeah, so like a lot of the top players have kind of stopped doing that. But I think the way he did it was really scary for me, because it was we weren't on the diagonal deployment. We were on the other straight one. And he had put his knob with dynamite forward behind a door where he could just like walk through the door and throw a dynamite at me on one of my safe objectives. So I ended up just not taking that objective and going down 2-4 on primary. In hindsight, I really over-respected the dynamite, because I was like, I had my aspiring champ there who can eat dynamite really well with Nurgle. Yeah. But I was like, oh, he'll just move within 2 inches of me, and then I won't get cover. And then after the game, I was thinking about that, and I was like, he's never going to do that, because then he blasts himself. It was like one of the few really, like, really dumb boneheaded things I did during the tournament. It didn't end up biting me. The bomb squid came in, did just about nothing. He actually never threw the dynamite, and he ended up charging somebody and passing and, like, capping the point. And I just kind of did the thing that legionaries do, where they get their kills and they just start trading up against commandos early on. And by the end of the game, it wasn't like a crazy game. I'd say it was a pretty clean win for legionaries. I didn't get, like, blown off the board early, which was really nice. That happened to me at Nova once. And it was nice to not have to worry about any of that. So that was a pretty clean game. He was a good player. We talked about it after. I think he was telling me he kind of wishes he did a little bit more sneaky get action. That kind of seems to be the main thing with commandos right now is getting like multiple sneaky gets off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to get the commandos out of the way early. I knew there was another commando player in the group that I had to worry about, but to get that like off my back and just like play the game was really nice.
Yeah.
And then we went into round two, which, first of all, I just want to highlight the round timers. I mean, we talked about it. It was like 3-4 hour long rounds. It was really exhausting. I don't like it. It was one of the few like big complaints I have about the format. I hated the super long rounds. Like, I get why we only did 2 rounds on Thursday to like for the jet lagged players to like have a more relaxed schedule.
Yeah.
But that amount of time is like too much, in my opinion. Like, I think
so like your game with the commando player, mm-hmm. like, did that go like the whole time?
No, we finished an appropriate amount. Like I'd say we finished in an amount of time that at a normal tournament we would have been on time.
Okay.
But there were plenty of games going on the whole tournament. There were like the full four hours. It was just a regular
occurrence. I don't know how you do that.
I have no idea. I don't think any of my games went more than 3.5. No, I don't even think any of my games went more than 3. I'd have a couple that probably went about 3.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. And then we had round two, and I got to play the Rat Man from Argentina.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were excited about this.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. So off the bat, first of all, I was scared. Because
I'd be scared too of playing a rat man.
Well, I was scared for a lot of reasons. Because first of all, there's 10 players in the group. So after the first round, there's 5 winners, 5 losers. Winners are going to play winners, which means that there's going to be one winner that has to play a loser.
Oh,
because 5 and 5.
Right. Yeah.
And the main tiebreaker is opponent win percentage. So I got the pair down. I had to play Rat Man, who lost in his first round. So I played an 0-1 opponent. Which I was a little nervous about because I'm like, even if I win, it kind of puts me in a spot with tiebreakers where it can get...
That like hurts your strength of schedule. Yeah.
So it's kind of a lose-lose. Like I either lose and that sucks or I win and now my opponent...
It doesn't suck as bad, but...
Yeah.
Still.
So and the other sad part about this is like, I didn't even get like a... Like normally in a normal tournament, you get a pair down and you're playing a worse player. You know what I mean? You're going to play like a... player that just lost.
Yeah.
And the Ratman did lose, but this is World Championships. Everybody's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's on open board against Blooded. Like one of my worst matchups in the whole group.
Yes.
So I'm pretty scared. I'm like a little stressed going into it. Fortunately, shout out to the Ratman. He was awesome. Super cool guy. Just like such a character. He was wearing cowboy boots the whole weekend. He had a shirt that said Ratman. Like King of the Rats or something. It was just
Ratman, King of the Rats,
absolute gem. and he was just funny. Like he was a cool guy, fun guy.
His team like converted like Skaven models or no. They were just Jonah.
Regular Blooded. Yeah,
that's disappointing.
Sorry, Jonah. No, I mean, and this game was crazy. It was like I felt like I was. Like it was always kind of uphill the whole time. Like I was definitely losing turn one and turn two just because I had to like give up and like claw back.
Yeah.
And he's got so many models on the board compared to me. And I'm just like one of the big moments of that game, I will say, was on turn four. And I think like, so I have an aspiring champion in melee combat with his sniper on one of the objectives, and he's in a pretty safe spot. And he's pretty much set up to like cap that objective and like hold it down for the rest of the game. And it's pretty far away from everything else. And he uses, I kind of forgot about, so Blooded have the shooting into combat play.
Yeah, they do.
For some reason I was mixing it up with the Pathfinder shooting into combat play where the Pathfinders need to be within 6 inches to do it. Blooded, they can do it from across the map.
They can do it from across the map.
And that is exactly what the Ratman did.
Craven did that to me at a KTO.
Yeah. And so he fires up the plasma, overcharges. So one thing that's pretty neat about this that I always forget, and we kind of forgot about it until somebody reminded us during the game. So like fun fact, if you're overcharging plasma and you're using Callous Disregard, because the fails get allocated to the friendly guy, they're not discarded, which means the hot rule never triggers because hot only triggers when the attack dice is discarded. So if you're doing Callous Disregard, you never take the mortals, which is great for the Ratman because he rolled 3 ones in one hit.
Yeah.
And he did no damage to my guy. He did kill his other guy.
Okay.
At first we thought he blew himself up, but he did not. And that was a big swing moment. And I think I think it played really well other than that. I also don't think like the odds, the math is like really good, even if he doesn't like giga whiff. The math is not good on him killing my champ over there. Like, I have cover, you know, I'm 13 wounds, mutagenic flesh. But that was pretty big. I ended up pulling that game out. But the problem was Alejandro, he actually ended up losing round two. So I go into, like, the end of day one with my strength
and
of schedule.
Both of your opponents are 0-2.
0-2.
Yeah, that's...
So I'm in kind of a... I'm at a point where I'm like, I feel like I just need to win.
Yeah, you...
Four
yeah.
games at
yeah.
least. Like... I don't think I'm going to be able to do it with a loss. So, then the day ends and we, you know, we go into day two, and I come to day two really confident because I'm playing at Into the Dark now. I went 2-0 on open, which was, I was afraid I would lose a game on open. And then we go into the dark, and I'm like, all right, this is my comfort zone. In round three, I'm playing against Wallace, the Spanish player, on Commandos. And let me tell you, Wallace was really good. we're playing Loot again, which was kind of annoying. And I think that definitely didn't help me. But he does a really aggressive, like, turn one with the comms. Like, he does the shush play, so, like, his whole team basically just dashes up.
Right.
And he, I believe he might have also recon dashed before that with the comms. But he's able to, like, first activation with the comms, walk through the door, because he can open the door for free, and just tap one of my side objectives with for loot. So I started off going 2-4 on primary, which on Into the Dark, I usually like to be 3-3. That's, like, one of the things I like about Into the Dark. And it was on Into the Dark that I started busting out the corn. Actually, no, it was against the Ratman. I kind of passed over this, but I started busting out the corn anointed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just getting like the ping pong like charges off with perpetual aggression.
Yeah.
But you know, they were playing very safe. These players around that, they were really respecting the perpetual aggression, which worked out in my favor in some ways because they weren't being as aggressive as they could have been, which I think is a good thing. But it was a little sad that I couldn't do the crazy, like, multi-charges that I wanted to do. But Wallace, the game with Wallace came down to a few things. I think he played really well. I think I'm generally happy with how I played that game. There was a big moment on turn two where his Daka Boy did, like, almost, like, one-shot my Aspiring Champ. I think I had, like, a little bit of damage on him. That was horrible. I think if that doesn't happen, I maybe win this game. But we ended up tying, I think, 19-19 or 18-18 in a really tight
game.
That's
wild.
And Wallace had already lost a game at this point, so we're talking after, and he is pretty much sure that he's out at this point. And I'm like, well, I think I'm still alive. I know I'm still alive. I haven't lost yet, so that's good. And on another table, Matusz, the Polish guy, was defeated by Ryan Slater, Turning Point Tactics. So I'm like, all right, I'm probably going to play Ryan Slater now from the UK. So that's my next round. And I will say I have a lot of thoughts in this game. First of all, Wallace. Shout out to Wallace. Wallace is awesome. Got to hang out with him a lot on the weekend. Really cool guy. Loved the Spanish guys in general. Just like really, really nice. Really fun to hang out with. But then I go into Ryan Slater from Turning Point Tactics, who is playing Elucidian Star Striders. I have so many thoughts in this game. So this was my loss in group stage, was this game. And first and foremost, we're playing on Conduit, the Into the Dark Crit Ops map, where there is one objective on your side, and then there's four objectives across the middle in rooms, and then there's one objective on the other side. So this is the... And this is not... I don't think this map is the reason I lost, but... honest to God, I just want to say this now. That map does not belong in competitive play, in my opinion. I hate it so much. It's so, so oppressive for elites to play on. You just have to go down 4-1 on turn one on primary.
Oh.
You have to, or else you will lose a model. It's really, like, you already have to go down 4-2 a lot of the time on open board with elites. But that's, you know, 2 points is bad already. 1 point on primary is just horrible. And I made a big mistake in this game. I didn't really feel well. No excuses. But I probably should have rested a little bit more between rounds because we had a huge break. I, like, had lunch after the first game, and then I didn't feel well, and I didn't go up to my room. And I came to the room, and I'm like... with Ryan, and I'm like, hey, I feel terrible right now, but hopefully this goes well.
You weren't like melting though.
No, wasn't. It wasn't like KTO bad, but I did feel pretty sick.
KTO is like your flu game.
Yeah, that was bad. but no, we start playing, and I do the dumbest thing ever, and I don't know why I did this. I had the idea that I would try and go 4-2 on this map with by having. So the fear against Star Striders is they're going to out-activate you, and they're going to run one of their Navis guys up within two of you after you've activated everybody, and they're going to blast you with the AP2 laser beam and just delete
the death ray. Yeah.
But my tech against this, which I, in hindsight, I should have been a little more careful about it, but I still think it's a good idea, is the Butcher for Legionaries, you can't walk within 2 inches of him. His engagement range is 2 inches.
Range, yeah.
So the idea is I stick him on a barricade, and then the Navis guys can't walk within two to laser beam him.
Otherwise they're in engagement range.
And I put him far enough up in the barricade where they can't even walk onto that objective.
Yeah.
Because they'd be within two of them. So I'm like, all right, I can go 4-2. That's really nice for me. The problem was I deployed the Butcher first, and the problem with that is he has a crack grenade and he has Elusia Vane, who has an indirect 4-5 P1 weapon. So weapons that can hit my Butcher because they're indirect.
Yeah.
And he put them both. He did the right thing. He put them both on the same side as the Butcher. And I ran the Butcher up onto that side, kept the point, and then crack grenade walks up, does like 4-5 damage. And then Vane walks up and does the rest of the damage and just kills him. So I've lost a... And then he gets the point.
Yeah.
So I lose a Marine on turn one for nothing.
Yeah.
And I still go down 4-1 on primary.
Yeah.
So I'm just playing down a guy.
So let me ask you something. Had you saved him to be like your last drop for your deployment, like would that have mattered? Like who deployed first?
I was attacker. So I deployed the last group. So I absolutely could have done it better.
Yeah. Okay.
The problem was I didn't want to deploy him on the other side because he had the assassin there. And the assassin, like the thing about the Butcher is that like a shooting model can't walk within two and shoot him, but if he gets charged, he's kind of vulnerable. And I didn't want to put him near the assassin because the assassin can actually charge and like mess him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I put him on the other side, not thinking about the crack and the other indirect, the multiple, like I can survive a crack with Nurgle. That's why I made him Nurgle instead of Khorne.
Yeah.
But having a crack and another indirect, basically two cracks, that was too much. And I probably should have thought about that a little harder. But so I go down a guy. And the amazing thing is turns two and three, I actually start to like claw back. And there's a moment on turn three. Well, you know that moment where you're playing kill team and it's like turn three and it's like a close game. And it's like there's a point in turn three where you can kind of tell that the tides have turned.
Yes, I remember it vividly in our game at Syracuse when I was playing Cultist.
So in turn three, I have that moment and I'm like, I say to Ryan, I'm like, holy crap, dude, I feel like I've played terrible this game, but I think I might win. And I feel like I don't deserve to win this game. And I shouldn't have said that because karma came right back down.
Oh,
a huge moment. I think this is the thing that stopped me from winning at that point. So it's turn three. He used the beam on turn two. So he can't use the
can't
laser
use it
beam
on turn three.
Yeah, but he can use the other assets, which are like blast attacks with no AP.
Mm-hmm.
And he fires the 3-5, five attacks on fours, blast, just because he has, you know, he might as well take a free shot at my balefire on one of the rooms. And rolls like four crits on five dice, hitting on fours, and just does like 14 damage and one shots him off the board.
Well, that felt good.
And I think that is the moment where we were both like, oh my God, I think that just like, I think that swung the game.
Yeah.
But I can't.
So were those the only two? Were those the only two models he had killed by at that point?
He may have killed my anointed at that point, but my anointed was able to do some damage before he died. So you know, so I only had like three guys left at that, maybe two guys left at that point. And it was like so close, even to the last turn. Like it was like if he had whiffed on his laser beam on the last turn, I probably win that game. But you don't expect that. It shouldn't have come down to that because I screwed up really bad on turn one.
Yeah.
But I ended up losing by 2 points in that game. And it hurts because I think if we're on any of the other Into the Dark setups, I'm favored. I think Legionnaire just favored over Star Striders. And then, you know, assuming I don't just throw one of my models away on turn one like an idiot like I did, I think that's a game that I usually feel pretty comfortable winning.
Okay.
Pretty uncharacteristic, weird mistake on Into the Dark. And I will say, the whole year, I've only lost two games on Into the Dark with Legionaries, both on that stupid board. The last time was KTO against Custodes, and it was on that dumb board. I hate it. Elite players everywhere should be rioting, because when you go to a tournament with mixed terrain, they're not using every Into the Dark layout typically. They're using some of them.
Yeah.
Get that
they're using like the good ones.
Get that one out of there, because it sucks.
There's a lot. Pick another
but
one.
But yeah. Or, you know, keep using them because I'm not playing elites anymore. So, yeah, by all means. And then, so I've lost and I've tied at this point, and I think I'm out, but I'm like looking at it and I'm like, well, actually, the way that standings are looking, I could actually, like, if I win my last game, I think I'm out of groups unless, you know, Wallace also wins his last game against Ryan Slater. So it's a little weird.
Yeah.
And the last game I play is against Matusz from Poland, who's playing Inquisition. And, I mean, Inquisition, I don't have a lot of experience into, like, top Inquisition players. We don't really have a lot of them in the U.S.
Yeah.
The Inquisition players at Worlds were Ace and Matusz and another guy from Chile, who I played later. And kind of just came into it, but I felt really good. Actually, after that game, I went upstairs, I rested a little bit, came back down, actually felt way better. So I'm going against Matusz. He took the Breacher Ancillary, which I am pretty sure every single game played by Inquisition, they took the Breacher Ancillary, all three players. I don't think they took
something
anything
that balanced data slate people should look into, maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think that's like an obvious one. But we'll see. So, still into the dark, so I'm happy about that. And this was kind of a weird game. Like, I learned this tournament, my two games against Inquisition, they play very, very cagey. And they are a really, really strong team with a ton of activations and a ton of bodies and a ton of threats. But I will say they are a little bit, like, their dice aren't super reliable. Like, they have a lot of guys that hit on fours.
Yeah.
And they only have, like, one reroll at a time. That's not, like, ceaseless, like, with Vakard or anything.
Uh-huh.
But still, playing the elite team, you want to be really careful. We're playing on one of the normal boards. We're not playing on stupid conduit. So we're playing a capture, too. So it's like, all right, I like this.
Yeah.
Turn one, we go 3-3. Turn two, we go 3-3. Turn three, we go 3-3. Like, nothing's happening. Like, nobody's dying. I just can't, neither of us are like biting, but it looks like he's probably going to max tech ops, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get Robin Ransack on turn four, but I did break through on one of the flanks and I'm going to get a 4-2 primary. And I believe it looks like we might have a tie. And on the fifth round of groups, they told us no ties. If there's a tie, you play the tiebreaker. And the tiebreaker is you play a fifth turning point and you need to like control objectives like stamina.
Okay.
So I didn't want to do that because that's weird and uncomfortable. But it looks like it's going to be a tie, and we're going to have to do that. But the whole time I'm talking to Matusz on turn four, and he keeps saying, like, oh, I think you've won. I think you've won. And in my mind, I'm like, what's he talking about? Why is he saying that? Like, but you don't want to – when your opponent says something like that, you don't want to, like reassure them, typically.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. But, like, I in my mind, I'm like, all right, let's just play this out. Let's see what he's thinking, because maybe he's misreading it. Maybe I'm misreading it. Mm-hmm. One of us is misreading this. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
On turn four, it's like near the end, and it looks like we're going to tie. And he says, I'm going to make a risky play. And he has his leader charge my leader and fight him in melee. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, why are you doing this? I'm like, what's the point of this? And we fight, and I kill the guy with my Power Fist Aspiring Champ. And I reveal Robin Ransack. And that is the moment where we realize what the misunderstanding was, because he was under the impression that I had already revealed Robin Ransack. I hadn't. We talked about it for a second, and then he was like, oh, you're totally right. You didn't. I think it was just because it was really obvious that was my third tech op.
Yeah.
And I think at one point in turn four, I think I said out loud, I'm probably not getting Robin Ransack, and maybe he just heard the words and like just associated it.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, after he was like, no, you're totally right. I don't know why I thought you had that.
I mean, it gets to a point with like some of the teams that you play in this game, especially at like this high level.
Yeah.
Where it's like you should have a good idea as to what tech ops your opponent has taken. Right.
Yeah. Like he knew what I had. Like,
yeah.
It was very obvious that I had Robin Ransack. He just thought I had revealed it for some reason. And I kill that guy. I get Robin Ransack and I win the game.
Yeah.
Instead of going to turn five. I don't know how it would have gone if we went to turn five, honestly. Mm-hmm. Haven't even thought about it. But Matthias, very good player. So I by winning, I knock him out because he was 3-1 at that point. So then he goes 3-2. I'm 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. And I'm just praying over there that Ryan beats Wallace. Because if Wallace wins, then me and Wallace are both 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. And I don't know what's going
to... You probably have the worst strength of schedule.
So I imagined that was the case. And then I'm looking at it because their game was going on after our game ended. And I'm like counting up the wins that our opponents have.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Oh, no.
And then I look at the victory points and we both had like 77. And I won 21 to like 19 against Matthews. And I'm waiting. And the score comes in. And Wallace won with 22 points against Ryan.
Oh, my God.
So by one victory point, he gets out of groups, and I finish third in groups, and I don't make it out. So absolute heartbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just, you know, beating Matthews, having a tie with Wallace, on it, losing a game, a really close game to Ryan that I think I still could have won, I was really happy with how I played, and I was happy with how I played on day one as well. So it was hard to come out of it sad.
Yeah.
And there was like, what really was driving me crazy is after I won my game against Matthews, I had a bunch of people on Discord like congratulating me on making top eight.
Oh my
because
God.
Because it doesn't update the strength of schedule.
Update. Yeah.
And I know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, guys, don't tell me this. I know it's not real. It's going to update. We don't know
fake
anything
news.
Yet.
Fake news.
And as I thought, they came through and Wallace had 1 point. But the Spanish guys were very happy I won because it let Wallace get through. So they were pulling
true,
for
yeah.
me. I was there out on that one.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, and barely missed top eight. Really sad. Heartbreaker. But I think I did pretty well.
Yeah.
Overall.
I would say so. I mean, happy. You're playing against like this is objectively the toughest field in all of Kill Team this year to play through. So like having a positive win-loss ratio, like I personally would take that in stride and be very proud of myself.
Yeah. And then we went to the Worlds group, which was like three rounds over Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
My first game is against Leander Garrett. We're back on open board and he's playing Vetguard and I'm playing Legionaries, of course. And we're playing on Loot, I think, or Secure. And let me tell you, this game was like a transformative experience because playing against Vetguard on open board against a really good player with elites, it felt absolutely impossible, I'm going to be honest. And I feel like I saw in this game, it was like seeing like the glass ceiling for elites.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like this is how far you can get.
Gotcha.
Like you must be this tall to ride.
Yeah.
And the elites are just a little shorter. Leander's a great player. I'm really happy I got to play him finally. I wanted to play him for a long time. I still haven't played Mark. It's the only Garrett I have left to play. But Leander absolutely demolished me. I think it's maybe one of the worst losses I've taken all year.
Wow.
In a tournament. It was just like, holy crap. Like, what can I do here?
Uh-huh.
And then there's not a ton to say about it. Leander played it right. He played it well. I tried to bait out his mind on turn one with the Anointed. Because the Grizzly Trophy and the Feel No Pain. I'm like, this is going to
be
like...
Yeah, you can tank that.
I'm like, this is doing like a max 3 damage to me.
Yeah.
And it did 2 damage to me. The problem was he won initiative turn 2, implanted the mine again, this time on my Aspiring Champ, and one-shot him, which that does not happen.
No.
You can math that out. You can roll that out, mine against Nurgle Aspiring Champion, see how many times it kills him. Does not happen. But in this game, it happened. And yeah, you just couldn't really do anything. Vetguard just have so many bodies and so many threats. It was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I got smoked. I got completely crushed. All credit to Leander. I think a lot of us were kind of like, it wasn't super like upsetting either. Because at that point, you're already out. It's like you're playing for nothing. You're
yeah.
playing for fun. Like I was playing for Best in Faction at this point, which
yeah.
I did have competition for Best in Faction. There was a guy in England who I think he was kind of out of it at this point, but there was a guy from Australia, Liam, who was right neck and neck with me for Best in Faction, especially because he had won his first round game on the world stage. And then in round two, I played against... oh my God, I'm like blanking. What was my second? Oh, I played against Corsairs on open board and played very aggressive. We were playing on Loot, and I just played super aggressively. I like straight up had like... I think I had like 4 loot points or like 5 loot points after 3 turns, but I'd like mostly tabled his team.
Oh, okay.
Like every time I had a chance to loot, but I could kill a Corsair, I would choose to kill the Corsair instead.
Okay.
And that strategy worked pretty well for me, especially because I killed the Blaster on turn one. So like once the Blaster's dead, it's like...
It's open season.
You can breathe a little bit yeah. with Legionaries.
Yeah.
So I just prioritized killing like really heavily in that game, and that just like that was a winning strategy, I guess. The Corsair player, his name is Pablo from Argentina, I believe. Really nice guy. And then on the third round, I got to play against Inquisition on Into the Dark again. This time it was Felipe from Chile. And again, Inquisition are so cagey, man. They're so cagey. They just sit back and they're like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
No, you can't do
that. They're blue.
You're not going to kill. They are.
If they're a magic deck, they're blue.
Yes. They're a control. But it was a pretty fun one. The Death World veteran, the guy who has like the Justice Scratch once per turn against Roman, he fought my aspiring champion for like three straight turns. And my aspiring champion could not roll a six to one-shot this guy over like three combats and like several rerolls. I just couldn't do it. I would get like three hits or something, and then he'd like Justice Scratch and parry or something, or I'd get two hits. Or, you know, I just couldn't kill the guy. It was really frustrating. Elsewhere on the board, I was able to... He did, like, a really aggressive thing that Matush did not do, where he took the Pistolier guy. Obviously, everybody takes the Pistolier guy, but he gave him a Servo Skull for a free mission action. And then he recon dashed him, so he could... And then he comms buffed him, so he could move, dash, open the door, and shoot me with the plasma pistol, like, on my back objective. And I saw that play, and I was like, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm just going to go down 2-3 on primary. I'm happy with
that. I learned my lesson.
Yeah, like he didn't want to come take the objective because then he's right in my face, and if he loses initiative, it's rough.
Yeah.
So he got his 3, and I got my 2. I'm like, 2-3 I can live with. That's whatever.
Yeah.
I just kind of traded up slowly. It was a really hard game. It's kind of hard to even like fully remember everything that happened. It was like the 8th game of the weekend. It was
blame you.
I think I played really well in this game. I was happy with that. Mm-hmm. You know, just
how much experience did you have against Inquisition prior to this tournament?
Not a lot, like a few games pre-nerf. So nothing after the nerfs. But it was a pretty good experience playing against them twice. I went 2-0 against Inquisition. So I finished again 5 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. And I got best in faction for Legionaries. So,
hey, cool. Yeah, that is cool.
Big success.
I mean, and very fitting, too.
Yeah.
You know, because you were kind of like championing them. I mean, they were your main faction, you know, this entire year.
Yes.
So I'm very happy that you won that.
Yeah, it was cool to win that. I am... So I guess overarching points on, like, playing, like, not just Legionary, but Elites in general.
Yeah.
At this level, and, like I think you could go to, like, LVO or like Nova and like win with an elite team. It's possible.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard, but it's possible. But at an event like Worlds where everybody is on that level, I don't even think it's possible as elites are right now, because it's just so many good players. Like if you only have to deal with that level of player, you know, near the end of the tournament, one or two games maybe on top table, that's one challenge. But where every single game is that, and like all your opponents have like 6 more guys than you, and they can just, they're not going to mess up. They're not going to make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
They're going to like, they're not going to like take the bait quite as often. It's so difficult to play elites in that kind of thing, like environment, I guess. So I think I'm putting away elites competitively. I think I've done as much as I could with them, with Legionnaires, obviously. And especially that game against Vekkar. Like the Star Strider game, I just remember thinking, like, man, this game would be a lot easier if I was playing a team with like 10 bodies.
Yeah.
And against Star Strider, or against Vekkar and Leander, it was like, this game is not possible. It's just impossible. So yeah, I don't know. Like, elites are fun. But there's something in Kill Team that is like missing with elites in my eyes. And I think part of it is that you don't feel like you're playing Space Marines, because you have to play on turn one like a total coward. You just have to hide and like...
Yeah, they're both like very durable because of like their, you know, their high amount of like wounds and like high amount of damage they can sustain. But it's like if you lose one turn one...
Really,
it's like you can only be in so many places on the map.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of it is like, I think Overwatch needs to be better as a mechanic. Like, it's weird to me that, you know, even this has been a thing for years, but like you can overwatch and shoot a guy, but if a guy charges and passes, your Marine can't punch him.
I get you.
Isn't that weird, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like a, I don't know.
There should be like a, I don't know, like a fixed bayonets.
Yeah.
I know that that's like an actual term that like I'm pretty sure like Vetguard has or something.
Yeah.
But like something like that or like a ready stance.
Yeah. And it, like.
A prepared action.
yeah, like especially against the Inquisition where they have like 13 guys. Like there was moments in both those games where I'm like, you know what? I just have to throw a guy forward and I know he's going to get attacked and you're going to do everything you can to kill him. And I just need to hope you don't kill him.
Yeah.
Like that, and that didn't feel like having that be my best play.
That feels bad.
It does feel really bad. And I felt like my opponents really dictated the pace of the games, even the games I won. I felt like I was like really reacting to things more so than like making plays myself.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to just like tank things and then seize opportunities. Like, the small like moments when they arrive,
yeah,
and then you definitely can't roll bad,
no,
and your opponent cannot roll really well, so I don't know.
I mean, normally you don't roll bad, but when you do,
yes, yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah,
things can't really go wrong with elites, or else it falls apart really quickly.
Gotcha.
But no, I mean I'm happy with the year of mm-hmm. playing elites. I think that it was really. It was cool, and I'm excited to play something else, like another type of team. I don't know.
Are there any teams that have like piqued your interest?
After Worlds, I was saying Hearthkin, and I still think Hearthkin might be the answer. Because like for me, like psychologically as a player, I hate picking up my models. I hate when my models die. I think that's why I was gravitating towards elites in the first place, because they don't die that often.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like playing hordes very often, because it's like you're all game, you're just picking your guys up.
Yeah.
But I think Hearthkin's a cool thing, because when your guys die, you get something out of it.
Yeah.
The grudge tokens. I like that mechanic.
Yeah, you're punishing your opponent for playing the game.
Yeah. Beyond that, I think Higher Tech has been intriguing me for months.
Yes.
Like the past few days especially, it's like I've been thinking about so many teams. Like, oh, novitiates sound fun. Oh,
yeah.
Even
I gotta
Crute.
Get them built.
Even Crute sounds fun, man.
No,
I
kind of want to go back Crute. To the Crute.
I know Crute. Listen, man, Crute suck. I don't care what anybody says; they suck. But they seem really fun right now, and they're like the polar opposite of elites, where you just play the objective and try not to die. You know, like you don't kill anything. I mean, you can try.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
You're not gonna. But you're gonna play the objective really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the models are just so cool. So I might play Crute a little bit just for fun before I like deep dive back into like being ultra competitive. But as far as that goes, I like Hearthkin.
Okay.
They sound fun to me. And cool. I think they're really good, especially if the consensus seems to be right that probably Commandos and like Chaos Cults are gonna get nerfed, especially after the results of this tournament.
Yeah.
Those are two of the worst matchups for Hearthkin right there. Hearthkin's already pretty good.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
Yeah. Makes sense.
They might be pretty poised to do well.
Nice. Well, despite everything you had to say about elites being bad, well, not bad, but like having a glass ceiling, I'm still going to be maining those Night Lords when they come out.
I mean, it was cool.
We
got to go into the room an hour before the stream and like see the reveals
as
they came in. And it was pretty sweet to like see the Night Lord stuff and the reaction to it. And we didn't get to see the other team in the box, but, you know, hopefully that's something cool.
Who knows what that could be?
Yeah. Night Lords look sick, though. Mm-hmm. Really sad that I'm dropping elites and now like a super sick elite team's
going
out. But I'm not going to let it draw me in. I'm not, as tempting as it is, I'm not going to let it pull me in.
I mean, and you've been playing Night Lords. For like a year, basically. That's how I had them painted up. Yeah, so
they're painted as Night Lords.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, we could talk a little bit about the results overall at Worlds. Chaos Cults.
What do you want me to say?
You know, everybody like kind of thought, oh, yeah, Chaos Cults are still really good. But like nobody pegged them as like the best team.
Yeah. Like, no, it didn't feel like anybody, at least in the U.S., like stuck with them.
Yeah. Nick Craven did take them.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, that's right.
He did pretty well. He didn't make it out of groups, but he went like 6-2 overall.
That's pretty good.
And then the grand finals was Chaos Cults versus Chaos Cults, and the winner was...
First disgusting.
Of all, the winner was from Australia. How...
Crikey.
I mean, like all this talk about Spain and Poland and the U.S. and England, and Australia just shows up and wins Worlds. That was pretty cool. Alexa seemed like a cool guy. Got to talk to him a little bit. There was a lot of like, and you know, hearing him talk about Chaos Cults, you know, after the nerfs, because I haven't played them after the nerfs, hearing his like philosophy and strategy, it just kind of sounds similar to what it was before. There's like a few differences.
Yeah.
But like the way you use the Icon Arc, a lot of people apparently use the Icon Arc as like a flamer still, basically. But Alexa was really making sure to use it. Like he'd move it up and like use the aura like near his torments to like get the damage reduction. And then on turn two, he would like keep his Icon Arc there for a long time instead of activating it early to be the flamer.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that is different. Some of the TAC op stuff was different, but in general, I think that, you know, cults are still really, really strong, clearly. And
yeah.
Those boards, I think, were fortunate for melee hordes. You can get up into the mid board. First of all, you can't get Alphaed very easily.
Right.
So that helps. A lot of terrain in the mid board, so they can move up safely. You know, with so many activations cults have, they can keep the mutants safe. And I will say my idea on how to deal with cults, like playing against them, has changed a little bit. I don't really think it's just the alpha anymore. I think more important than the alpha is like targeted killing. Like make you need to kill the mutants.
Yeah.
More so than you need to, you know, kill 5 devotees and like every time you attack.
Yeah.
Because if you stop the torments, the team is, they don't have that much going
for them. No, they don't.
Especially now that everybody's got 6 up feeling pains. But yeah, Chaos Cults, they're probably going to get nerfed, right? Commandos probably going to get nerfed. I don't know what else is going to happen.
I hope the commandos get nerfed more than the when the cultists get nerfed, honestly. And that's weird to say, considering that the finals for this was literally cultists v. cultists. But
yeah.
I just think that the whole the infiltrate ploy they can do with, like, 3 models or whatever, I think that that's silly.
Yeah, it's really dumb. So, I mean, that's definitely going to change, right? I will say, though, like, I think everybody knows that's going to happen. Like, Sneaky, it's going to get... change to probably 1 if I had to guess. And a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say like that's all they need. I think commandos need to get nerfed harder than that. I think there's a lot of teams that are just like stat checked by commandos. Just a scratch, I think, is just too good. It's like on a team
yeah.
with that many wounds, like for context, if you're overcharging plasma into a basic commando boy, you need to get 4 hits or else it might live. Like, if it has Skulk
yeah, that's
about,
insane.
If it has Skulk about, you do need 4 hits. Like, overcharging plasma. Like, I had a moment against Wallace where my anointed, with the Grizzly Trophy, demon mode, fought a regular orc boy, and I didn't even, like, roll bad. Like, he had WOG up, and he got 2 hits, so he had a crit and a hit, and I think I got, like, 3 crits in it, and maybe, like... Maybe
that's
like
pretty good.
3 crits and it kills anything, typically.
Yeah.
And just, you know, crit him once, just a scratch. He parries my other crit. And now I have a crit and a hit. I'm only doing 9 damage. I'm like, I just hit 4 out of 5. I had 3 crits and a hit. I have a Grizzly Trophy. I can't even kill him in 1 combat.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. It's absolutely insane, just a scratch. That needs to get, like,
you think you, like, bump it to, like, 2 CP?
I don't know if you bump it to 2, maybe you make it 1 plus, or maybe you make it work on only normals, or maybe, you know.
Oh, yeah, 1 plus. They've done that a few times,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like, that ploy is too good for a team with, you know, 11 bodies, 11 activations. Most of the guys have 10 wounds.
Yeah.
It's just way too much. It's just way, like, I say that playing a team that can kill them, a lot of teams in the game just can't. Like,
true, yeah.
Like, my anointed couldn't kill an orc boy in 1 fight because of just a scratch. Like, what it, what are Corsairs? What are Kroot going to do? I can't
literally nothing.
Like they can't kill them.
No.
They're too durable. It's just, it's too much. And I mean, every ploy that team has is good. 11 activations, they shouldn't have that. They just shouldn't. I mean, I've seen like GA2, like make the Grot and Squig GA2 or something so that they have to activate together. So that way they're getting 10 activations instead of 11.
Oh, yeah.
that would be nice. I mean, that team just doesn't need 11 activations. I think like you're going to see Sneaky probably get nerfed, but if they don't touch Justice Scratch in some way, I think the team is still going to be a problem. I mean, on Into the Dark, it's ridiculous because they can just shush and like their whole team is like up against the doors.
Yeah.
And like they can charge from conceal and yeah. like they can put their gunners on engage because it's Into the Dark and they're safe. And it's like, what do you do against it? Like, it's just so ridiculous. That's my thoughts on Commandos. I'm kind of done with them in the meta. I just want them to go away. that would make me happy. Because, like, Hearthkin, for instance, have, like, a guy they can take that just stops sneaking it from happening. Because you can't forward deploy if you take locator. And even with that, Hearthkin gets smashed by Commandos. like, even in a world where they don't have sneaky it, that's a horrible matchup for Hearthkin. Mm-hmm. So, like, that nerf isn't even going to affect the Hearthkin matchup. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Commandos are good. Chaos Cults are good. Anything else?
I feel like we've covered everything. I think that's it. All right.
Sneak peek, guys. Next episode of the Command Point Podcast is coming soon, and we are finally going to do the Legionary Deep Dive.
Finally.
It's coming. Next episode. If the next episode of Command Point if it's not the Legionary Deep Dive, you guys can hold me to that, all right? Do something. I don't know. Whatever you want.
Play play Legionaries again.
I'll play them again in a tournament. I've been saying we're going to do that for a long time, and I think now's an appropriate time to do it.
Yeah.
So
you've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's been stewing in the old brain chamber. And I have taken notes. It's not just...
Okay, yeah. Now I wouldn't say that's worth it.
It's so next episode of the Command Point Podcast. We usually don't do this. Legionary Deep Dive.
Legionary Deep Dive, yeah.
Anything else we want to shout out? Patreon?
Got to shout out the Patreons.
Thank you,
guys.
Got
to shout out the subs.
Shout out to everybody I played in Atlanta, everybody I met that I didn't get to play. So many cool people. It was a great time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the next tournament I'm going to go to is. Big wise. I'd like to do Adepticon. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's a little ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to go to that one. But, you know, in the meantime, play some new teams. Have fun. Enjoy Kill Team.
Yeah.
It's a great game.